Before the night is through, we're giving away diamond earrings and a necklace from Diamonds by Drake at Girls Night Out. Now, back to the boys, live from Duke's Original Roadhouse, and brought to you by Red Stripe Beer, Harmonix Hair and Skin Clinic, and Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Well, nothing like big breaking sports news to talk about. And here at Duke's Original Roadhouse, Girls Night Out, we're talking about the apparent departure of Steve Nash to the Phoenix Suns, his original team in the NBA.
Yeah, nothing like breaking sports news to knock the big dicks and gordos of this world off the round tables, huh?
Hey, I wish we had more of it, at least in Gordo's case. I don't know about big dicks. Anyway, our round table right now, I'm George Dunham along with Norm Hitchkins, Mike Reiner, and TV Tim Matthews. I got to tell you, I was shocked by this. Word just kind of circulated through Dukes, and Fredo came up to me and broke the news. From a personal and very selfish standpoint, I hate this because I'm a huge Steve Nash fan. We used to have him as a weekly guest on our show, and I just thought the world of the guy.
Yeah, he was always very good to the little ticket.
Very good to the little ticket, good to the Mavericks, and
good to the fans.
Good to the fans, and
Dallas loved him, and he loved him back.
Yeah, he did. And I just, I hate it that Steve Nash is leaving. Sounds like a great opportunity for him. And as I was just talking with Norm, to me, and we'll get more details of this after we have a chance to talk to Nash and both sides of this, but to me it looks like Nash says, all right, you flirted with the Jason Kidd idea last year. You draft Devin Harris this year. There are strong indications that if you do sign me, I'll be shipped off to L.A. in some sort of package for Shaq. I love Dallas, and I love playing with Dirk, but I'm out of here. I get $65 million over 5 years. I like Phoenix, and see ya.
Now, George, is it final? I mean, the Mavericks could match it, could they not? But they chose
no.
They're choosing not to? They can't even do it?
Phoenix is under the cap. If a team over the cap had signed Nash, then there'd have been a negotiation, but a team flatly under the cap can simply go get that player.
Really?
And that's apparently they've got him.
Wow.
Ooh, can I have one of those?
The Waters?
Yeah.
So I don't know, weren't you shocked? I mean, the whole tone of these stories this morning, hey, Nash, and his agent was contacted by the Mavericks at 11:01.
Yeah.
They're making him a high priority. I'm just floored by this.
Was that a last chance meeting last night?
Maybe it was that way.
Did Duffy say to the Mavericks, I'll give you one last chance?
Or maybe today Steve Nash just heard what he wanted to hear and took it.
Well, that could be. Let me suggest to you that I don't think the Kidd thing had a lot of effect.
I do.
I think the Laker thing had a lot of effect.
Norm, I think it was water under the bridge. Steve, well, privately, but publicly on our show last year, he said, I will keep that in mind next year. I think he was really hurt by that last year. I really do. Because here the Mavericks were two games away from going to the NBA Finals, and Mark Cuban was saying, hey, if we can improve at point guard and get Jason Kidd in here, why not? I think that really hurt Steve. And I think that put some water under the bridge. Now, you're right. I think this Laker thing was the final straw. And maybe he was convinced that if they do sign me, and the reason they're making it a high priority is to move me on to La La Land for a deal for Shaq.
Well, let me ask you guys something. When games are over and emotions are high and the leering press is out of view, do you think Mark Cuban really rips these guys?
No.
How do you mean rips them?
No, I don't. Why, did you hear our last segment when we were talking about that?
No, I didn't. Because I think he does.
I know for a fact that he
rips them within the organization.
Yeah. To others in the organization.
I think he does. He may do that. I know he does this. I know he criticizes players at games in the heat of the battle. And I know for a fact that some players have taken exception to that. And for all the good things about Cuban, they hate that. When they're playing their tail off in game number 68 of the year, and they hear him nipping at them about play a little defense, when they're out there leaving it all on the court, and if you're getting that, do players absolutely love and have an allegiance to Cuban? I don't think the answer to that is yes. And I think there's some proof of it here in Steve Nash headed to Phoenix.
Well, some aspects of this. Number one, The luxury tax won't be as onerous on Mark next year, depending on what they do next. He's got a comfortably low-paid point guard in Devin Harris. Now, I honestly believe...
What if he can't play, though?
Hey, you're going to go with the rookie as your point guard?
He can play. Don't worry about it. He can play.
That's a big risk, though. Rookie as a point guard, especially if you bring in Shaq and make all these changes, and the guy running the show is going to be...
I think it's worse if you don't have Shaq.
There will be a learning curve, but this guy can play.
My question is about Nash. Would you have liked to give 5 or 6 years? And as much as Steve is a wonderful fellow, 4 years from now, at $13 or $14 million a year,
there'll be an old point guard.
Is Steve Nash? I don't know. Maybe he is. I just don't know. What I do know is a lot of people love Devin Harris. And if the Mavericks are thinking younger, and one of the things we talked about, I don't know if we talked about all the different options here. One of the things the Mavericks may be trying to do here is get much younger. Howard, Daniels, Harris, and Dirk is the core of an extraordinarily young basketball team.
Yeah.
I think you also saw in L.A. that age and talent didn't necessarily mix. And because
I agree.
Gary Payton showed a lot of his age throughout the playoffs to the point where it was almost a total non-factor, and maybe they said, if we get to that same boat where a guy is like Nash, in the case of Payton, a Hall of Famer, an all-star and all this, but he went right over that edge and was useless to us, we don't want to get that point and be paying a guy a huge amount of money. As you realize, Payton made nothing for the Lakers, right? I mean, what did they pay him? $2 million? $1.5 million?
No, I think he got the five. Did he get the five? He got the five.
Malone got $1.5 million.
By the way, Malone had the knee surgery today, and there are reports being denied out of L.A. that he's retiring.
That'd probably be a good idea.
Yeah. About time.
But I don't think they
didn't want to find themselves in that same position if Nash is going to get beaten up and be paying him $14 million a year and find out that he's of no use to him anymore in 3 years from now.
Well, it's like Junior had those numbers this morning that astounded me. I never heard...
That Junior had
numbers,
the numbers?
Like, he had these numbers this morning. Yeah. No, that they had the numbers, these numbers that he had on point guards. Basically, if you took a cross-section of point guards over the last 20 years, that most of them are done at 32.
Yeah.
And you think of point guards, and they got Stockton, he played forever, you know. And there's some that do, but that's a hard position. And Nash has shown, vulnerability late in the season to break down a little bit.
And he's played it with no regard for his body for the most part.
And that takes its toll.
It does take its toll.
And he's not the biggest guy. Allen Iverson will find himself
right.
in the same boat.
The fact is, this
years.
Is a guy who might fade out early and quickly.
Yeah. And I think, and the Norm's question's a good one. Would you commit that much money over a long term to a point guard of that age? That's a hell of a question.
I think the Mavericks gave him the answer. No, we won't.
Now, here's my next question. If you can somehow make the trade for Dampier, who turns 30 next week, you would then have a core of Dampier, Dirk, Harris, Daniels, and Howard. That's a very young.
Now, what are you giving up for Dampier? You're not going to give up one of those young players?
Walker would be in that deal somehow.
But Howard or Daniels, Daniels couldn't be, but Howard Daniels wouldn't be?
Maybe not. I wouldn't want to give up Howard now.
I wouldn't, but that may be part of the asking price.
Maybe. And it may
but be. I love Josh Howard.
Me too. I do too. But somehow there may be moves here toward Dampier now instead of Shaq. Because the package to acquire Shaq is more difficult to imagine now.
Is it? You think, without a doubt, it'll be a three-team deal to get Shaq now?
Maybe a four.
Yeah, I think so too. I think at least three teams got to be involved in whatever's going to happen with Shaq and the Mavericks.
The reason I suggest maybe even four, Timmy, is somebody that's well under the cap may, as a favor, eat a contract or two here. In other words. Let me give an example. Remember when New York made that huge Marbury deal, Hardaway and all those people? Well, Utah got involved in that. Utah didn't get anything out of that. They sucked up the contract of the aging Tom Gugliotta. But what they got for it was the 16th pick in the draft, New York's number one. Well, Utah now has kissed Tom Gugliotta goodbye and picked up a very nice player in the draft for cooperating. Utah got a very nice sussy dropped in their lap. And you may see an Atlanta, a Denver, a Utah, somebody else get involved in that deal, make it even a four corner, so that the salaries are easier to move around.
I think Cuban is working this as hard as he's worked any deal since he's been with the Mavericks to try to make this happen.
But it still might not be doable.
Maybe not, but I think he's looking at so many angles that this is almost the sleight of hand that we're all focusing on what's going on in Nash. Should have stayed, bad deal or whatever. And over here, he's got something else happening with this hand.
But I think Nash was connected to the Shaq deal, though. I really do. At least in one of the plans. I know at least in one of the plans he was. And I think it makes it tougher. Now you have to swing a three- or four-team deal to maybe sign and then trade Dampier. It's complicated beyond my knowledge, but I think this makes it more difficult to do the Shaq thing.
Well, without question, it thins your talent base. The depth the Mavericks would have used as a basis to trade from has now been thinned out some. Devin Harris cannot go in any deal now.
Yeah.
He cannot.
No.
And Daniels can't be dealt once he's been re-signed. I tell you what, guys, the next thing to worry about is Daniels.
That's right.
I'm telling you.
Better get that deal done.
Yeah. Well,
there's only so much they can do.
Or they better not get outdone, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned the other day.
Good possibility.
If you're Denver and you've got 19 million under the cap, why don't you make a run at Daniels?
I would.
You could use a wonderful slasher like that. And you stick a fork in the Mavericks if you take him away. And, you know, Daniel's starting at $6.5 million a year for 6 years. He's a kid. I don't have any trouble giving him 6 years.
No.
You know, and Dallas is going to have to fight off people now. Because now they're at the point where if they should somehow lose Marquise Daniels. Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's a lot bigger now than it was a couple hours ago.
What basis of any trades do you have? You have Devin Harris starting at the point. You have Finley shuffling out to the off guard if Daniels isn't back. You have Josh Howard at the small forward. Stackhouse behind him. Dirk. Nahara Leitner. Ooh.
Yeah.
And a trading chip in Walker.
You also have the reality that everybody's talking about how good the Mavericks would be with Shaq and all the positives. That you could be looking at the Mavericks when this is all said and done. They don't get Shaq. They lose Nash. They might lose Daniels and go, they got school.
Well,
I mean, there's a possibility that they go like 0-4 and they take a step back. We're sitting here in a month or 2 months going, who would have thought it? Because they thought Shaq was this far from being and this close to being a Maverick.
I'll ask you guys the question. Let's say Houston simply uses their exception to sign Derek Fisher. Is Fisher, McGrady, Jimmy Jackson, Juwan Howard, and Yao Ming as the starting lineup, have they passed the Mavericks?
Arguably, yes.
Then when you figure...
The Mavericks starting with who now?
Well, as they are right now. If
Harris,
the Mavericks
Finley,
don't move
Howard,
on from here.
Dirk, and whoever, Leitner or Bradley.
I don't know. You like Howard and Fisher that much?
Well, Juwan Howard is one of those guys that I don't think gets nearly enough respect in the league.
He's been dealt like six times.
Well, he could be a role player on a championship team.
You know, you look at his career.
Right, but you're asking him to be a starter.
Well, but that's what he's been. Starter in Orlando.
I mean, you're asking
year.
Christian
starter
Leitner
here,
to be a starter here. What's so great about Christian Leitner?
You look at Juwan Howard. For his career, he's averaged 38 minutes a game, 7.5 rebounds, and 18 points a game. That is not a bad career in the NBA.
Yeah, but has he, I mean, what's he done the last 4 or 5 years, though? I mean, that's all faded down.
No,
Scoring averages weren't built up in the first 5 years?
The number one tandem scorer in the league this year was Bryant and O'Neal. Number two was McGrady Howard. Juwan Howard is still scoring, and he's still boarding, and he's in his early 30s. I mean, I'm not saying he's a great player, but all I'm saying is when you've got Ming and McGrady, hey, you're not asking for superstars to surround him. Those guys can make players pretty good.
Yeah.
Can anybody win with McGrady?
Yeah, I think people may be overrating him a little bit.
Or is he one of those guys that simply need to be fished out of the cesspool? Okay, but why didn't he make that cesspool a little bit better? If he's really that great, why didn't he make that cesspool? If you're a great player, you can make a cesspool a playoff team.
Well, will Kobe Bryant do that to the current Lakers?
See, I'm not convinced of that because I'm not that sold on Kobe.
What I'm saying is one good player on a very poor team
has Kobe does about Shaq.
Has a horrible load to carry because in McGrady this year, McGrady put the ball on the floor. Five guys would go to it. It was like iron filings to a magnet.
but it just seems like we're starting to see a strain of player in this world that is spectacular. Great scorer, great handler, can just do it all. Like Kobe, like McGrady, but they don't know a thing about winning. I mean, they can't, but
Kobe knows something about it. But
does he?
Without all the 28 shots or whatever he takes.
Or the supporting cast he's had.
Yeah. I think life for him is going to be a lot tougher without Shaq.
Yeah.
Basically, look at the NBA Finals. Because they let Shaq do what he wanted, and they focused on him, and he didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm. I think McGrady, I mean, this is the true test for him. He's been talking about winning and getting out of Orlando, getting a place that appreciates him. They put on a great show for him in Houston to welcome him in. He said this is all going to change. We're going to see. There's a lot of pressure on Tracy McGrady to not only average 28 a game, but maybe, as importantly, average 20 a game would make him a better team.
Hey, well, real quick, does Phoenix have room to do Nash and Kobe?
You bet. No. They now have room to do some other things, though. In other words, they could go out there. The way I remember their caps, they ought to have about $7 or $8 million still under the cap. Now, if they could make one more small move, they could afford Dan Pierce.
Ooh. All of a sudden, they're a team again.
You look at the West, and let me just say this about McGrady to you guys. What was Houston's problem last year?
They couldn't
score.
Yep.
They were dreadful offensively. Stevie would flip around and wind up with the ball and fire something up at the gun, or Catino would fire. They were a very poor offensive team. McGrady will make Ming something special.
Yeah.
Well, great. Now on a night of big sports news, we're about to turn things over to Sika.
All right, we got to go. We didn't do another round table? Yeah, another round table and then the Wild Ass Circus next.